Oh, come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
Well, hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Talk Back. I'm your host, Calvin Moore, and this time around, I have got pop artist Jimmy Needham on the line. Jimmy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Calvin, good to be here.
Great to catch up with you again. Always love being able to talk to you. I think this is like our third or fourth interview at this point.
We're veterans together, man. This is
we are veteran. Yeah, you're a veteran interviewee, and I'm a veteran interviewer at this point.
That's right.
So
that's
kind of cool.
We got it.
But this time, you're hopping on the line with us to kind of talk about a different project all around than what you've done in the past. Prior to this album, which we'll talk about in a sec, you've released primarily kind of pop albums in that, we live in the world of comparisons, kind of in that John Mayer kind of vein. And now you're kind of moving away from that for this project, at least. You're releasing an album of hymns. So this album, The Hymn Session Volume 1, is just about to come out, if I'm not mistaken, or has it already come out?
Yeah, no, it comes out Tuesday.
Okay, because I saw somebody on Twitter said they had received their album already, and their mom said it sounded
weird. I thought that was an amazing tweet, by the way. So folks who pre-ordered the record from my web store got it a couple days early. They got an autographed copy a couple days early, just to say thanks. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Well, okay, so it's a hymns project, so talk a little bit about that. Why hymns? Why the departure from the, kind of the standard pop formula that's been working for you so well? Why did you decide to release an album with hymns?
Well, and I don't know if you know much of the backstory on this record, but this is on all fronts, it's a very unusual record for me, especially in how it came to be. This record actually began as a gift. I made this record exclusively for 300 people who helped fund my Clear the Stage record back in 2012. They gave money via Kickstarter, and we raised so much on Kickstarter that I had enough to make like an extra record, and I made it for them just to say, hey, thank you. We're grateful for your donations. And so about a year ago, 300 people out somewhere in the U.S. were sent a digital copy of what is now the Hymn Session. And I was vacillating for a long time between what sort of specialty record I wanted to make for them. And the debate was, should we make a Hymns cover record or a Motown cover record? And I decided that the Hymns record was maybe a more exciting route to take, doing it with a little bit of that soulful Motown-y flair to it.
Okay, all right. Let me stop you for just a second, Jimmy. I'm from Motown. Currently sitting in Motown, and a couple weeks ago I was actually at the Motown Museum at Hitsville, USA. I'm gonna go out on a ledge here, on a limb, and just say, while I appreciate the Hymn Sessions Volume 1, the Motown project still better be kind of in the works. Because
no doubt, man. No doubt. I'm with you. I love that the debate was whether or not we should do 300-year-old hymns or like Stevie Wonder covers. I love that. One day.
One day, yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's the story behind the Hymn Session. That's actually a really cool story to know that you had so much support for the last album, that you had so much money left over that you're able to release this other project entirely. And it turned out very, very good. I loved these renditions of these, sacred hymns, so to speak. That kind of brings up the next question, because when you're writing your own album, when you're writing your own songs, like you're in full creative control, when you were taking songs that someone else has written, whether a Motown song or an ancient hymn, you're at the mercy of that writer, so to speak. There are already lyrics at play. So in that sense, you don't have full creative rights, so to speak. How did you go about figuring out the arrangements for these particular songs that you picked?
Well, you know, I knew that because I was covering other people's songs, I had to put my own sort of stamp on them. So, there's virtually no song on that record, as you know, that sounds exactly like how the original writers maybe intended it.
Right.
Because there was so little pressure to like impress a record label or anything like that, it was just simply for the fans. I just sort of said, you know, what are some of the most extreme things that I could try to do on these hymns sessions, and then I just did them because I wasn't answering to anybody. I was just making this record for fun, and we experimented in a lot of different genres, from like, you know, four-piece jazz quartet to turning one of the most famous hymns in history into a hip-hop song. You know, we just sort of said what are the biggest risks we could take, and then we took them. And I hope at least that we succeeded in breathing some new life into the musical aspect of what they did, because lyrically, man, those songs are home runs every time.
Oh yeah.
And so I wasn't worried about that at all. But we did take a lot of musical risks on some of these, and I think the product of it is something I'm really proud of.
Okay. Now, your last album, again, funded by Kickstarter, and this album made with the leftover money from that Kickstarter campaign. And you just mentioned, hey, you know what, I got to kind of do what I want. I wasn't at the mercy of a record label. Any plans to return to a record label at any point?
Man, I don't know. I guess it depends on how well this independent release goes. You know, if it does as well as I hope it does, you know, my question would be, what could a record label provide that I can't? You know what I mean? So
gotcha.
We might be Macklemore in this junk. You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay, so last album featured Lecrae, which was surprising, because I'm used to you hanging out with Tripp, and then,
right.
Okay, Tripp Lee comes along for the ride, and I remember a few years ago, there was kind of the idea that you guys would do a tour together, and
right.
So now he's back on here, and I'm like, dude, these guys got a bromance going on. When are you guys just going to release a full-length album? And go on tour. When are you guys going to give the fans what they want?
Well, the album idea, actually, somebody else just proposed that to us. They said something similar, like, man, I would love to hear a full record of a collaboration between you guys. So that may very well be one day. The tour thing has actually happened once already. We did a tour in, I think, the fall of 2011. Together, called the Grace Amazing Tour. It was right before my Clear the Stage record came out, we did about 15 dates together. So it wasn't a massive thing, but we had a blast.
Last I had heard that had fallen through. I had heard that there wasn't enough interest or something like that. So that did happen.
Well, I guess there was enough interest because we did it. I think what you're referring to is we talked about it once before, like a year or two before, and couldn't get it off the ground.
Okay.
And then the following year we said, heck, we just need to try this again. And we did try it again, and it worked. So we were able to do that tour, and who knows what's to come. I know you obviously probably know this, but Tripp has essentially stepped down from his job as a rapper to take a pastor. So we'll see what comes of the future.
Yeah, I know he stepped down, but then I keep hearing like, oh, there might be a collaboration with him and KB and Andy Mineo, and then I see him popping up from time to time doing guest spots. I know he's not doing the full time touring thing anymore.
Right.
And he's definitely stepping more into the pastoral role at his church. I think he's at Capitol Hill.
He's currently, yeah, that's right.
But yeah, you know, I'm still holding out hope that
it's just a
hiatus, so to speak. So, so this hymn session is volume one. This is the first volume, and I hope it's not like, you know, Mel Brooks' History of the World, where volume one, where it's just only one movie, or part one. This is the first volume. Can we expect another hymns project next, or will there be another pop project between now and then?
Yeah, I'm writing my own stuff again right now, and I think it's reasonable to expect that there will be a new Jimmy Needham record out in 2014, most likely. But, you know, what's great about the hymns is, I mean, there's about 200,000 out there. So there's no shortage of material for me to depending on how well this one's received, to continue doing these projects as sort of a side thing. It's fun for me because I feel like my contribution to the church and to just the, you know, my listening audience is typically not the, hey, let's all sing along together type of songs. You know, it's not corporate worship music. It's usually teaching songs or challenging songs, things like that. So this is a fun little outlet for me to go, hey, you know what? I love hymns. This is sort of as close as I'm ever going to come to doing Chris Tomlin stuff. So let me dabble in this a little bit.
Okay. So, obviously, like you said, you know, all of these songs lyrically are home runs. And you've got just a few features on the album. Kevin Jones, Shane and Shane show up on Holy, 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 and then Triplets on How Great Thou Art. What were a couple of songs that were the most fun for you to arrange and put together?
Yeah. I'd have to say the first one that comes to my mind when you ask that is Rock of Ages. So we had this fairly limited budget and a really narrow time frame. We were recording this simultaneously with during the Clear the Stage recording process in a different city with a different band, and I produced this one versus Ed Cash on the other one. So, you know, our constraints were pretty narrow, and so the last day of recording, or one of the last main days of recording, we still had a whole song unfinished, and it was Rock of Ages. I mean, we hadn't even started it, and I think just by the pressure of we gotta figure out what this is gonna sound like and be like, and just the limitations that we had to work with, actually inspired a lot of creativity in that song, because we sort of threw caution to the wind and said, okay, instead of the traditional, let's get a drum kit in there and all that and make this happen. We just sort of pressed record in the studio and started banging on computer desks and hitting mic stands and you know, shaking tambourines and stuff and really created this really sort of neat organic loop drum beat thing just by our surroundings. And then from there, just I recorded the vocal. There was no instrumentation. I sent it to a buddy of mine who played bass. I told him, do whatever you want. He sent it back to me. I played piano on it. By the way, I don't play piano. So I played piano, and the rest is kind of history. We eventually overdubbed the drum stuff. But it was so fun to go, I don't know what the heck to do. Let's just move forward and see what happens. And that's what came of it. And it, to me now, is one of my favorite songs on the record. So that was a blast. And then, of course, I love what Dean Tripp did, just because Tripp is so inventive in his raps on How Great Thou Art. And we sort of tried to make that song feel a little bit like the more like the roots sort of hip hop and Common and
right.
and a little bit more organic hip hop vibe to it. And my band, I think, just did a tremendous job on that. I'm really indebted to my whole team on this record.
Yeah, overall, you've created a very, very good, very good project. And I love to always see what people can do with hymns, whether it be people who are, like, you know, working on Passion. Like, to this day, I still think, like, Passion, my favorite album by them is their Hymns Ancient and Modern album.
Yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah, just taking kind of those things that are ancient and just the lyrics are very theologically robust, probably more so than a lot of worship lyrics that we get today, and just kind of putting their modern spin musically on it, I think that's always a good thing. So to see this Jimmy Needham kind of jazzy poppy vibe that you brought to the table was really cool. My favorite personally, for a strange reason, actually is It Is Well.
Oh,
I love, I'm sorry, not It Is Well, Joyful, my bad. Let me step back. Joyful, probably my favorite on the album, mainly because I love the song, and I always have. But I don't know if you remember the movie Sister Act 2.
You mean my favorite movie of all time? Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to. Whoopi Goldberg. But yeah, I loved when they sang that song in that movie, and I've always loved the song ever since. That song and His Eyes on the Sparrow, which you didn't cover,
Of course.
But it was really cool to see your cover of that song, see what you did, and I think you did a bang up job on it. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah, thank you, dude. Yeah, that was a really fun one to do. And honestly, I picked that song because of the track too. you won't find a bigger Lauryn Hill fan than me. And I just thought, when I saw that as a kid, I was just like, this song is unbelievable.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
So when are you? I thought I saw, and I could be wrong on this. Are you coming through Michigan sometime in the next few months?
Man, actually, I've got my calendar right here, but it would be terrible if I didn't know that. Michigan.
Because I feel like we've had so many conversations and have yet to actually meet, and we need to, like, get lunch or something if you're coming.
Yeah, I was just up that way about a month or two ago, but I actually wasn't in Michigan. I was just in surrounding states, but I don't know, man, maybe on this next tour, I let my booking agents handle a lot of that stuff. But
you just get on the bus and go.
I just get and go, man. But I don't think so, but, you know, I always tell people, folks are always like, man, you need to come out to this place or that place or this town. And I was telling them, I don't wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I love Florida, but I hate Michigan. I wake up and I wait for an offer to come in from Michigan. And you know what? An offer doesn't come in, I can't go. So
right.
You spread the word, Calvin. That
I will spread the word, because you cannot and here's the thing, you can't release a Motown record if you've never been to Motown.
There it is.
It's a thing. So in order for you to rightly release a Motown record,
oh my God.
You have to come here to Motown. You know what? You might even have to record it in Motown.
I was about to say, man, what am I doing not recording it there?
I don't know. Well, I know Motown Records has actually moved to New York at this point, but I'm just saying, you got to record an actual Motown. But where can people find out, for people who don't know about you at this point, where can people find out about you? Where can they purchase your album digitally or physically?
Well, of course, all the digital retailers will have it, Amazon, MP3, you know, iTunes and all that. They can just type in Jimmy Needham. I'm on, you know, Twitter and Facebook. It's just, you know, my name, Jimmy Needham. And my website, if they want physical copies right now, the only place to get physical copies will be on my web store and at the live shows. I haven't yet released the record to retailers. So the folks who
people in Michigan can't get it at the concerts yet. Yeah.
That's right. If people in Michigan want a physical copy, people in Michigan got to get up on my website. So yeah, and they can do that straight away. We're selling it right now. So yeah, man. So that's how that works. And if folks want to, you know, see some music videos and stuff I've done, obviously you can go to YouTube, and there's all sorts of different content on there.
All right. Well, Jimmy, always a pleasure to catch up with you. I got lunch with my girlfriend right now, and you've got a meeting to get to. So, again, best of luck with this album. I think it's great, and I hope that the response is as strong as it has been for projects in the past, because I'd like to see more Hymns projects. I'd love to see a Motown project. Love to see another pop album. So, yeah, best of luck with it.
Well, thank you, bro. Good chat. Fixed upon it, Mount of Ivory, demon love. Here we go. Here I raise my